next. Support for WGTD comes from Jack and Drea, a Kenosha tradition since 1911, newly reimagined for 2019. A unique shopping experience time and time again, and that's what brings you back. More information at jackanddrea.com. Jack and Drea, a proud supporter of WGTD's morning show. And we welcome you to the morning show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. Today is the day that President Brian Albrecht, that is the president of Gateway Technical College, makes his way across the hall from his office to join us for his monthly visit to the program. And we're always glad to have him here. And we're also always happy when we can meet and get to know a member of the Gateway Board of Trustees, and we will be introducing our very special guest in just a little bit. First, we want to welcome President Albrecht back to the morning show.
Thank you, Greg. It is always a pleasure to be here. You know, we're only like about maybe 20 yards apart, right? Our office and your office right. Here, so we see each other every day, but to be on the show is always a pleasure and a thrill. Thank you.
Great to have you here. So tell us, first of all, about some recent excitement out at the beautiful IMET Center.
Oh, my gosh. Well, first of all, thanks to WGTD and the great coverage of the ribbon-cutting ceremony. And I was telling some friends at the event that it was a year ago, October 22nd, 2018, that we broke ground on the expansion of the IMET Center. And for those that don't know, we added 36,000 square feet of advanced manufacturing space to an already wonderful 45,000 square foot facility. So it's amazing space now for advanced manufacturing. And then, so 1 year later, October 22nd, 2019, we cut the ribbon on the new space. So we had a lot of people, 300 or 400 people attended, and we were able to showcase some of the new robotics, the new automation, virtual reality, augmented reality, and had a grand celebration. Was really proud of the fact that Governor Evers attended, along with Secretary Frostman. They were both here, and they helped to showcase not only the importance of the expansion, but the way that Gateway is providing support for our K-12 system feeding into it, because as you may know, the IMET Center is also the home of the real school. So we run a high school during the day. We run an adult program for Gateway students. We run customized training for employers. We have a great partnership with the Department of Corrections. And so all spectrums of learners can be there at any one given time. And I think it's really going to help set the stage for how Gateway can increase its support and service for all community members throughout the Southeast Wisconsin.
For any listeners who have not ever seen the IMET Center, explain exactly where it is.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So it's out in Sturtevant, underneath the Sturtevant Water Tower. That's the easiest way to describe it, but it's on Highway H in Renaissance Business Park.
Real close to the Renaissance Movie Theater there.
Yeah, real close to the theater. If you took the theater, Highway H to the south, you'd go about 3 or 4 miles and you'd run right into the IMET Center. And it's strategically located in an industrial park, so we can provide great support for the businesses there, but continues to grow in its service to the community. In fact, last week we hosted a national conference for Haas Machining. We hold quite a few Haas machines in the center. It was called the H-Tech Conference, and it brought educators from all over the Midwest to take a look at what we were offering and then how they can increase their skills in computer numerical control. So the center itself is quite an attraction, and now it's just absolutely stunning with the type of technology that's in place there.
Fantastic. Very good.
Thank you.
I know that you're excited about a new partnership that Gateway has just entered into, and that's what makes the place go.
Exactly. You know, it's actually a direct result of the expansion of the IMET Center. So Rockwell Automation, headquartered out of Milwaukee, we've been working with Rockwell for several years and offering some specific training in PLCs, programmable logical control units, which is what kind of I like to think of it as the brains of automated equipment. It's what connects everything. And so Rockwell and Gateway have put together some unique training programs, and we've opened a new lab over at the IMET for the Rockwell program. And when folks come to visit, you'll be able to see very visibly the logoing for Rockwell and the new equipment that's included in there. But our goal is to make sure that our students have direct employment skills, and Rockwell is one of the larger suppliers of computer numerical control and PLCs, programmable logics, in this area. So it's a great partnership and a great way to increase the skill sets for our students.
Wonderful. Before we get to our guest, I know you want to evoke a very, very familiar name here in southeastern Wisconsin, Arthur Mahone.
Absolutely.
Tell us how Gateway has honored the great legacy of Arthur Mahone.
Oh my gosh, I wish everyone could see my smile. I'm so proud of this. We've been working with the Mahone family, myself, for over 15 years as I serve as the chair of the Mahone Foundation and really try to help build awareness around the importance of academic success, building scholarship opportunities for youth, working on creating greater awareness for personal health and especially for around women. And there's some great events around community. I'm sure many have heard of the Reaching for Rainbows or the Jazz Festival downtown or Power Up, which recently happened over at UW Parks. And those are all partnerships with the Mahone family. But we were able to celebrate the dedication of the atrium on the Kenosha campus. So the convening place where students, families, parents, people come to register for class. They learn about all the support services of the college, and they begin their journey through Gateway. And Arthur F. Mahone was an instructor at Gateway. He was a welding teacher at Gateway and really help young people understand how education can be such a critical role in their life's journey and life success. So that convening area, that atrium, was really an inspirational event that we had. And all the Mahone family were back, and there's a lot of them, so it was great to have them all back in and their friends, and there's a lot of those friends as well. And we celebrated the dedication of the Arthur F. Mahone atrium on the Kenosha campus, and something that I know will resonate with a lot of our community members and certainly makes me very proud every time I walk through campus.
Fantastic. Very good. Well, time to introduce our very special guest, someone who has just joined the Gateway Board of Trustees.
You know what? It's really it's inspiring for me, and really I'm trying to soak it all in, Zaida, because Zaida was a student at Gateway. And I had a chance to work with her when she was an ambassador and spoke for the college. And just through the show here, we'll tell you about some of our travels and our journey here. And most recently was appointed a trustee for Gateway. So now she's my boss. And I always think that's the greatest part, that she's come full circle and she's helping provide support and leadership for the college. And just really a thrill to have her on the program today.
Very good. We welcome you. We're glad to have you here, Zaida Hernandez-Iverson. So tell our listeners, first of all, a little bit about yourself and in particular how your life's journey has intersected in a couple of different ways with Gateway Technical College.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me. It's really a pleasure to return and, like Brian said, be a full circle. I started at Gateway Technical College without being a registered student with my parents. They started in the English Language Learner Program when we moved from Mexico here. They heard about it. They had friends who they met here that they said, we're going to the school and they teach you English and it's great. So as an only child, my parents will drag me to class in the evening after school and I will do homework in the hallway or I will attend, until I was given the option to enroll in the Youth Options program. Back then it was called Youth Options. So I started taking a few credits at Gateway Technical College because I knew I wanted to succeed and become an engineer, but I also knew that being a first person in my family to go to college, it was going to be a little bit harder. And I knew Gateway was going to give me the right tools to do that. So I started in the Barber and Cosmetology program in high school, just taking a few classes here and there. And then upon graduation, I knew I needed to improve my English. So I was like, what a better place to do it than where my parents learn English. So I enrolled in the English Language Learner program here while I started going full time in the Barber and Cosmetology program. Soon after I graduated from both programs, and I'm like, okay, this is a time to go into engineering. And Gateway Technical College was the place.
Wow.
They do offer a range of programs that you would be surprised. So I started working as a barber, and then I started, in the engineering programs where I got two associate degrees in biomedical and electrical engineering and technology. After that, guess what? There's great partnerships with Gateway. So I took advantage of that and transferred to Milwaukee School of Engineering to get my bachelor's degree. So it's really, I always tell people I've utilized everything that Gateway has provided. I even got my first job upon graduating from the engineering programs through my current employer, and I got that through WisTech Connect, which is like a hiring process where companies partner up with Technical College of Wisconsin. So I utilize a little bit of everything, and then I'm really grateful because I've been really successful with all the tools that Gateway has given me.
fantastic.
This is a great story, isn't it? It's like the entire show. We just
it's like you wrote the script yourself.
It is so wonderful. I mean, I spend a lot of time on campus meeting parents who bring their kids to campus. I think it's great. We try to, you know, engage them. In fact, during the holiday season here, we'll have quite a few family events at the college, and we have game night and things like that to try to help demonstrate that Gateway's committed to the whole family concept. And just to hear the story that, you know, coming here and taking classes with your parents, and it's just an amazing journey that you've been on, and what a great advocate and spokesperson for Gateway Technical College. So we are super proud.
Fantastic. I just want to ask one point of clarification. So the first sort of program you entered here at Gateway was for cosmetology.
That is correct.
But you, the way you told the story, it sounded like your ultimate goal was to be an engineer.
Exactly. And then there's a lot of people ask that. They're like, how does that work?
Yeah,
and
like, why did you
I knew I needed a skill to get a job. My family, it's a working class family. So I knew that the expenses for college were going to be on myself and my parents were going to help me. But to get a starting wage salary, I needed to get a skill.
Okay.
So what a best way to get a technical diploma, and that's what I did.
Fantastic. What a great plan.
And there are many programs that have short-term certificate programs that can lead into careers, one-year diploma programs, and two-year associate degree programs, and then, of course, as I just said, transferring onto a four-year degree program. So the pathway is many different on-roads and off-roads for Gateway, and I just think it's really great to hear the different stories that students bring, because while Hearst was fairly consistent, stayed connected to Gateway the entire time, we have folks that come back, hadn't been here for 10 years, and now are re-engaged again, and we can use their past experience through credit for prior learning and get them back on another path for a new career.
Fantastic. That's just a great story in and of itself.
Thank you.
So what was it like to have the phone ring and or the email to ding on your screen or however you got the news that Gateway was interested in having you perhaps be a part of the Board of Trustees? That must have been amazing.
It was. It was an email. And as I was thinking about it, I'm like, what did I feel? And I felt like it was a great opportunity. It's something that I wanted to do. But I felt like I was too young to do it. I felt inexperienced. People on the board have years of experience and knowledge, and it can be a little intimidating. So when I saw it, I'm the type of person, if someone suggests something to me and I see value in it, I'm gonna follow it up, because they took the time to point something out for me. So there must be something within it. Mm. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to apply. And then I found out the deadline was in 2 days. So I'm like, great, I have 2 days to figure things out. And I did. And I applied, and I went home and I spoke with my parents, and they're like, well, you know, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. You can give it a shot. If you don't take the position, then somebody else will, and maybe you can apply later once, you know, in a few years, once you have more work experience and more experience around the community. And, you know, my parents are very supportive. So when they talk me down for something, I know it must be really hard. They've only done that a few times. They're usually like, you're going to win everything. You're going to do great. But this time it's like, it's okay if you don't win. We'll still love you.
Wow. I remember how this all happened as well. We hosted Governor Evers over on the Racine campus, along with Secretary Frostman, in a convening with employers to talk about the importance of the skilled worker shortage and what Gateway could do to help support that. And Zyde was actually there representing not only Gateway, but also her company. And her president of the company was there as well. And after the event, she did such a great job communicating to the governor the value of a technical career that it was another member of that group that was there that recommended that we invite Zyde to apply for a board position. And then, of course, at Gateway and the other technical colleges, those positions are appointed by the county board chairs. So there's an application process, and there's others that apply, and you have to go through an interview. But just the recognition of someone else on that committee that said, this young woman knows what she's talking about, and she should be helping our college succeed.
Yeah, it took me by surprise, definitely. Mm-hmm. It's a group of people that I was looked up to, and I never thought I will belong in that group. And just funny story, our chairman for the board, she was my high school principal when I was in high school.
Oh,
yeah, so can you believe that surreal moment, joining the board and having a voice in a board with your high school principal?
Yeah, right. And not saying, Zaida, please report to the office. So yeah, very good. So tell us what the orientation process is like when a newcomer comes on board, what is sort of the shepherding process by which you learn about kind of the procedures and policies of the board?
Yeah, I was surprised of how structured it was. Well, I'm not surprised because it's Gateway, but I went through an orientation for half a day. So it's split up into 2 days. And you go through all the policies and procedures for the board. There's manuals, and you're always welcome to email any other trustees if you have any questions along the way. But it's very, very detailed, and I was surprised. You think you know what Gateway does, and you know how things go down, and then once you go through the whole process and you go through the whole booklet, your jaw just drops of the amount of outreach they do and everything that you have to kind of oversee, because you, as a trustee, you have to pretty much learn about everything that's going on. So just seeing the behind the scenes was really, really amazing. And the training, it's an ongoing thing. I'm not going to learn everything in the 3 month span, but it's a learning process, but everything's great, and everyone's really helpful and welcoming, and that helps a lot.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. So Kelly runs that out of our office, and like for every employee at Gateway, we have what's called the Gateway Journey. So we take our employees through a process so they get to orientate themselves to the entire college, not just the job that they're in. Similarly to with the trustees, had a chance to tour some of the campuses, meet some folks that maybe you wouldn't meet on a normal day-to-day basis, and then of course learn how the procedures of the college trustee role is, because it's directly aligned with the state, and there's a lot of practices that have to be followed in order to be compliant with open meetings and, you know, making official decisions for the college. And so it's really great that Kelly puts that whole program together for us.
Very good. For those of you just joining us, today is the monthly visit of Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College, his monthly visit to the morning show. And with him today, Zaida Hernandez-Hirison, who is a brand new member of the Gateway Board of Trustees. So Zaida, if we looked in your past, would we see you assuming leadership roles of one kind or another? Is this something that has been a part of who you are, or is this kind of a first?
It's been part of who I am from the beginning. When I joined the engineering programs, I was approached by the professor who now is my mentor, Mr. Patrick Hoppe, and he was like, we need a president for the Society of Women Engineers, and you're going to be great. So you need to show up for the meeting.
That's Pat. That is him.
And I'm like, okay, here we go.
Wow.
It's one of those things where I'm like, but I don't know engineering yet. And he's like, don't worry, you'll be great at it. So I was a serving president for 3 years while I was at the college. And once I started that, you get a little taste of that, and my involvement just grew. I was an officer for the amateur radio club, which I am still active as an alumni. I go camping with them once a year for an event, the electronics club, and I just got really, really involved in all of the engineering, especially doing outreach. That's my favorite part. I once a Fab Lab was at the IMET Center. That's where I was also located. I started not necessarily volunteering. There was no club there yet. I know there is one. But I would just kind of hang around there, work on some things, and people from the community will stop in, and I will talk to them to try to engage them. And this is what we do. So, I definitely had some experience. And then once again, Patrick Hoppe was like, there's a Star Ambassador application that I'm filling out for you. I hope that's okay. And then, like I said, in my journey, I was an English language learner. So public speaking, I like to speak to people, but public speaking was not the most fabulous thing I wanted to do. It's not something I look forward to, but he was like, you're going to be great at it. You have an awesome story. People need to hear about it. And once again, if someone of value tells me you should do this, I'm going to give it a try just to give them respect of their time to looking into it.
Sure.
So I came in for their Star Ambassador interviews and everything. And that's another time that my parents were like, it's okay if you don't win. We already look at the booklet, and there's a lot of fabulous people in there. You're not the only one. But surprising, I won the Kenosha District Ambassador. And then out of the three, they pick the ultimate ambassador. So they represent all of the campus in a statewide meetings and events. And I was selected. So I still remember, we have this video of my mom is recording the screen, that they would select the ultimate ambassador. Instead of saying their name, they just played the video of your interview. So my mom is recording everything on her phone. And when my face pop up on the screen, the phone just dropped. So all the rest of the video, it's just the floor and the carpet, because it's something that we didn't expect. So it's hilarious.
That's fantastic. You know, I'm interested also. So when you went on to MSOE, did you carry some of those leadership responsibilities at Milwaukee School of Engineering as well?
I did. So I joined immediately the Society of Women Engineers because I transferred. But I also saw the need. We had a great, great support with all of our credits transferring, be part of the agreement. We have counselors. But at the same time, I felt like we needed that peer support. So I actually started my own organization at MSOE.
Wow.
So it gave me a lot of experience of writing a constitution and really understanding why we have everything, all the policies and procedures. So I started the Transfer Student Association, and that's a transfer student ran club with the support of traditional students to welcome everybody, because some of them are commuters, some of them live on campus, but because a lot of, like me, who worked, we didn't spend a lot of time on campus, and sometimes we felt a little alienated. We knew we were welcome there, but we never really saw anybody else but our transfer students. So I started this organization, and I did like socials where it was a Friday after classes, we would just sit and have pizza, or we had homework help for upperclassmen who transfer as well, from, you know, students who just transfer, and we help them with like tips and tricks and how to make it through college, because they prepare you academically, but sometimes mentally it's a lot difficult.
Sure.
So I was able to start that organization there.
And wow. All of those things add to your experience serving as a trustee, because we have all of those scenarios that play out every day, right? Students are trying to transfer. Students want to know how to get connected to the college. What's a student organization? How does that add value to the academic success? And as a trustee now, you bring that voice to the table. So it's great.
Thank you.
Very good. So tell us, Zaida, about the National Conference for College Trustees that you just attended. That must have been quite an exciting experience, especially so early on in your tenure as a trustee for Gateway.
That was an amazing, amazing conference. Let me tell you, I went in with, I'm like, I don't know what to expect. Everyone was just telling me you're going to love it. And I was able to attend several workshops every day at the conference in San Francisco and to learn about what other colleges are doing. And a lot of the times it was mind-blowing and opening to see, like, oh my goodness, we have this at Gateway already, and a lot of colleges are just implemented, which is great. But you can kind of see how much growth Gateway Technical College has versus other colleges around the nation, and sometimes you don't value what you have because you don't see what else is out there. And I was able to really appreciate what we do here, and I was able to learn of other policies and procedures and improvement. I try to attend a lot of diversity and inclusion and equity meetings, and to see how to involve more students and to grow and diversify our college, because we have a big diverse community.
I think you raise a good point. Sometimes when you're here every day, it's hard to appreciate all that's
exactly.
going on, right? You have to sometimes step out of it and look in and say, like, oh, yeah, we do that, or here's where we could do a little better. And plus, it gives you just a little time with your other trustees, sort of one-on-one, you know, at dinners and things, to try to get to know the personalities behind the responsibility as well. So
fantastic.
It was really great that you could attend.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I was very not shocked, but everyone has been so welcoming. And just to see everyone's different backgrounds, like you said, you know, you have downtime and you just start talking, and to see how much they've had their own struggles and how they've come to where they are now, and being able to really see a little bit of myself and everybody. And it's been amazing.
Hmm. What kind of challenge is it to balance what I suspect is a very full professional life with now these responsibilities you've taken on as a Gateway trustee?
It's always helpful when your employer sees the value of what you're doing within the community. Mm. He's one of my champions, definitely, who supported me throughout my journey at Gateway, at MSOE, and now return at Gateway. So it's really helpful. And once you set your priorities, I always ask every day why I became an engineer. And my biggest thing is to help people. Mm. I can help people with technology improvements, and maybe people don't realize that I'm helping them. But to complete for a circle that, I'm like, okay, I need to help them through technology, but I also want to help people in my community, directly in my community. So waking up and reminding myself of that, it's what really keeps me going and makes me time. You, when you prioritize what your goal is, what you want to get out of your life and your journey, it's really easy to fit things for the college because I see this as an opportunity to serve my community.
I just absolutely love that, especially when you wake up every day and say, why did I become an engineer? And you can, you know, kind of parlay that back to what work you're doing every day. It might be helpful for our audience just to know a little bit more about what type of engineer are you and what do you do every day?
Yeah, I'm an electrical engineer by education, and I'm an electrical engineer at work. I work at Fisher USA. I started working there. It's my first engineering job, so it's been an amazing journey there. They make high-precision spindles, so they are the equipment that goes inside a CNC machine. It's what rotates. A lot of people compare it to a drill. Mm. It has exchangeable tools, and you can cut wood, you can cut metal, you can chip away parts. And it's, I always think it's funny that they have machines in-house that have our spindles, and they're making parts for the, our spindles. Speaking of full circle. But I pretty much take a role of the electrical, everything electrically related, cables, sensors, all the communication that goes into them. And it's great because it's a small company, so I get to see everything from start to finish when something comes in and it's broken to all the way that it's being shipped out and it's working. So it's a great opportunity as a new engineer to really see the whole process.
Very good. Mm-hmm. So as a Gateway trustee, do you have particular goals in mind? Is it a little early to be thinking about that, or do you already have in mind some things that you hope you can, in a sense, sort of help accomplish as a trustee?
Well, yes. When I was applying and when I was considering if I was going to apply for the position, I sat down. I always talk to my mentors, to my parents, to my boyfriend, and really think of, what do you think? Just get their ideas as an outsider, because obviously I'm immediately excited. I'm like, of course I'm going to do this. But once you see other people and a lot of the things are like, well, set yourself a goal. You will not lose anything. If at the end of your term, you don't see that you're getting something out of this, you don't have to rerun for your position to get appointed, which was a good point. I'm like, okay, I'm going to give it a try. And my goal is really to show the diversity of the college. We have a lot of students, and a lot of people come up to me to like, you have a great story. But I would tell them, like, there's thousands of students at Gateway Technical College that have a similar story, a different story, everyone battling through their own struggles and barriers and getting to where they want to be. I'm like, there's Zyda Engineer, and I'm sure there's another Zyda somewhere at Gateway Technical College who's a nurse now but had to struggle to get through that, a dental hygienist, a fireman, a policeman. So I really want to show that and bring some heart to our board of trustees to say, I am just part of what the student population is and part of the community. Having a diverse board of trustees, I think it's also an advantage because students see that she was an English language learner. I can be anything I want. And that's one of the things that my parents always told me, you can be anything you want. There's nothing holding you back but yourself. So now being here and showing other people who are also started from the bottom to say, I can be a trustee. I can be the president of Gateway Technical College when you're retired, obviously.
I'm glad you're thinking that way. That's good.
or people who say, I can be the president of a company. I can have any job and nothing is holding me back but my drive and my will to get myself educated. So I really want to show that.
I can't wait to play this radio program back to our United Student Government students, to new students coming on board when they go through their orientation during registration, because you have just nailed it, Zyda, to the idea that your dreams can be achieved through Gateway. No matter where you are on that path, dream big and we'll help you get there. I just wonder what your thoughts are on sort of the student government structure that we have with United Student Government, because in January we will be adding a new student voice to the board as well. So we're actually going to have a student member on our board so that we can get even become more responsive to the needs of our students.
Wow.
Yeah, that is correct. I'm really, really excited. One of the things that I learned when I went to the conference is that a lot of colleges have this student trustee position through the student government. And I think it's great because even though I was a student here, I'm an alumni, a lot of things have been new and updated since I was a student here. So having someone fresh with the new ideas, every year there's something new. So I'm really excited to really hear what they have to say. As much of a voice that I have, I also want to hear what the new incoming students are thinking and what they want and what they're really looking to get out of the Gateway experience. Mm.
That reminds me, I mean, obviously as someone who's had such a long and, in a sense, intricate relationship with Gateway a couple different times as a student, as the child of students here and so on, you obviously go on to the Board of Trustees already knowing a whole lot about Gateway, having experienced it first person. Have you learned something about Gateway since becoming a trustee that you didn't really know before?
Of course. And like I said, all the behind the scenes of all of the meetings that people go through to just have an event going on. You think it's one of those things you send an email out like, we're gathering for the craft fair, show up. And all of the work, and I think sitting during the board meetings and having the vice presidents of different areas speak about what's going on in the department, you realize how big Gateway is. Mm. Obviously, you know it's big. It's on different cities and everything. But once you see all of the hard work that people put to really make Gateway run, it's not a one-man show. It's a lot of men and women show that happens every day. So it's mesmerizing to see all the behind the scenes and how really everyone is doing a little bit to improve Gateway as a whole.
I think that's so true. When you look at, we do a monthly report. It's about 15 pages every month of new activities that are taking place in all the different divisions. And then we share a lot of those highlights at our board meetings. And it's always impressive and amazing the number of students that we serve, the type of programming that we offer to make sure that we engage our community in new ways, and the recognition that Gateway receives from a variety of different venues because of that support. And just want to, I'm glad you shared that, because a great big shout out and thank you to all of the team members here at the college. They work very hard every day to make sure that our service is top-notch to our students.
Exactly.
So what would your advice be to somebody who's maybe contemplating going to Gateway as a student or maybe is already here? I mean, when you look back on your own experience as a student here, what do you think would be one important bit of advice to pass on to those who have come after you?
And this is a great question, because I was talking to Mary before here, and I have cousins who are in high school and in middle school, and I always talk to them. They all want to be engineers like me. All of them are girls, and they want to be a barber engineer. That's what they tell me.
Barber
engineer.
You may have started something new here for us.
You don't know, but I always tell them this advice every time I see them, and it's think of what you want to do, and you're going to find it at Gateway. Gateway has all of the resources for you. They're in your own backyard. You don't have to travel far to get top-notch education. And once I was a student here, I realized that MSOE professors come to the IMET Center and teach lectures. And you see that it's the same thing. It's the same comparison to our instructors here, to instructors at a four-year institution. Some of them even teach at a four-year institution. So the education that you're getting here for the value that you're paying, it's top-notch. You cannot beat that anywhere else. So why leave far when you can start at Gateway? Look at the transfer agreements that we have. They are so valuable to our education here. You want to just invest 2 years, start working, and then later transfer to a different university? You can do that. You just want to do 2 years, you can also do that. Or you just don't feel like you want to commit to 2 years and you just want to get a certification or just a diploma. You want to spend 8 weeks. You can have a certification in 8 weeks. You can have one in 1 year. It depends what you want to do. You have it all. You have all the choices available for you. So just look into Gateway. You're not going to walk out without it, without a top-notch education.
I'm just imagining all your nieces and nephews and cousins and everything gathering around, sitting around you and having you share that with them. I just think it's fantastic. So what does it feel like, though, to have, you know, so a young person like that come up to you and just have so much regard and respect for what you've done and now asking you for advice? That has to be a pretty neat feeling.
It is. It is. And seeing all family members and family friends who just give people my phone number. I'm just like, hello? They're like, so-and-so, give me your phone number. And I have a daughter who's in high school. Could you talk to her? Like, she doesn't know what she wants to do. And it's really humbling to see people reach out to me, because I looked up to so many people, and now seeing that people are looking back at me, it just puts a lot of not responsibility, but good responsibility to say, I need to be a role model for these young Hispanic girls who don't know that they can become engineers, who don't know they can go to college, who don't know how they can afford this. And this is what I mean, one of the goals that I want, when I want to bring as a Board of Trustees member, is I want to show those students who are unaware that they can even go to college. Yeah. Can you believe that there's children in our community, because their parents didn't go to college, they believe they can't? We need to work on that, and that is my goal.
Yeah, and you know, it's important, because you also advocate for the scholarship program, the Promise program, how to make sure that it's affordable for people to get to college. And I know that you've actually received some of those, and I think those are really other milestone events that can be a part of a conversation for a family.
Definitely. I received several scholarships while I was here through the foundation, and let me tell you, sometimes $500 can be the stopping point of you continuing your education. And we just had an event for the foundation, which was amazing, and I was one of the ambassadors. And one, talking to people who are scholarship donors, and they understand that giving a scholarship makes a difference, but once you tell them that sometimes their students, without those $500 for the books or $500 for tuition, they would not continue their part-time education because they're working, single parents, or students who are really struggling, or they're going through a rough patch, that can really make the change of someone. And you can hear the stories of students. There was a student who spoke, who was going to HR, and I was just crying in the corner because I can relate so much to everything she was going through and hearing how the foundation has helped them, that it's really moving. And people need to realize that a $250 scholarship can really make someone's life change.
Absolutely.
We shouldn't underestimate that.
What
might seem like an insignificant amount of money to us can make a huge difference in someone else's life. And
exactly. And it's really inspiring. And that's one of the reasons my family and I they're going to start a scholarship here. I really want to honor my family and my parents who have worked so hard. They have worked third shift and first shift together so they can really, so I could go to college and I could have a top-notch education. So I really want to honor my parents, and I'm in the works of starting a scholarship through the foundation here.
Wonderful.
That's fantastic news. And it's the money is absolutely essential, but sometimes also just that encouragement, that recognition that someone selected you to receive additional investment, and those types of statements about an individual can really do some great things for their emotional strength.
Absolutely, when they know someone else believes in them to that extent. So Zaida, I'm sure one of the things you've come to newly appreciate is the scope of Gateway, and the fact that, for instance, we serve a 3-county area, with 3 major campuses and other entities out there. Gateway's reach is really, really big, and as a trustee, in a sense, one of your responsibilities is to understand all that.
Exactly. And having that help from other trustees has helped a lot, tremendously. And just going to and having the rotating meetings for board meetings, we have them in different campuses, some in some centers as well, gives you the more of the scope of what's going on. And every campus that you visit and you have your meeting, they give a report of what's going on or anything that's happening and how that campus is thriving. So it's really, really amazing. Sometimes I sit in the board of meetings and I'm like, okay, close your mouth. Don't just leave it hanging open because it's really eye-opening to see everything that we do and how each campus is a little different. They have their own little niche of students and how really the student body are really flourishing in every campus.
Gateway is made up of 9 trustees, 3 from each county. So there is equal representation. And every once in a while, when we're on a particular campus, those trustees tend to, puff up their chest a little bit more to say, this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
But it creates great competition and, I think, camaraderie, because you're right. It's a district-wide initiative. And what we do on one campus certainly impacts the strength of the other campuses.
That's great. To finish up, do you have a favorite moment that you've experienced since becoming a member of the Gateway Board of Trustees?
Oh, there's a lot of favorite moments, but I think one of the best ones is when I was getting the tour of the Kenosha campus. I walked through a classroom, and one of my English professors was there, Dr. Deborah Salomon, and she was teaching level one students. And I walked in, and she just stopped the class. She's like, come in, come in. And I go in, and she explains them who I am and why I'm there. You know, I'm one of her English babies, as I call them. She taught me what I know. So she's very, very proud. And she explained everything, and they just stared blankly. They're level one students, so they have no idea what she's saying. And she's like, okay, clap. And then everyone just starts clapping because she's telling them.
So this
them
was English, like level English one. Learners,
yeah,
level one.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. So she's like, they have no idea who you are or what I just said, but we're all very happy for you. And it just seeing that all of the students have the potential to become trustees. All of the students have the potential to become anything. It's really... It was a favorite moment for me because I could see myself in all of them. I could see my parents. I could see my dad sitting there. I could see my mom sitting there, aunts and uncles sitting there. And I could just visualize all the potential they have. And trust me, that program, it's preparing students not to just give them English to live in the community, but it's giving them English and the technical English as well to continue and transition to a career here at Gateway Technical College. So just to see that English language learners are graduating from the program and immediately starting a different program, that just tells you the confidence that we're giving them. And any other programs for the GEDs and seeing them transition from, for whatever reason, they couldn't finish high school, and seeing them at graduation very proud with their families, and then announcing, I'm starting my new career as a police officer. I'm starting a new career, nurse, engineer, whatever, here at Gateway Technical College. That just gives you the reassurance that you're doing something right. If we have returning students to continue their education, if by word of mouth we're getting more students in our campus, that just tells you that we're doing something right.
I'm so excited. I mean, you think about what Zaida's already brought to our campus. Imagine now in a leadership role as a trustee what the next few years are going to bring. I hope that you are a trustee for many, many, many years at Gateway until you become the next president, of course. But I hope that all of the listeners today are taking what you said to heart, to think about someone in our community that maybe has not pursued college or thought maybe that they fit in with it, and really just seek us out and try to find out how we can create avenues of success for individuals, because you're a great example and a terrific ambassador to share your story, and we appreciate that very much. But you're right, there are a lot of Zaidas out there that, you know, are trying to find their way, and maybe through some mentoring or some advocacy or whatever it might be, we can find the right fit and make sure that they're just as excited about their future as you are.
Exactly.
Zaida Hernandez-Irisen is one of the newest members of the Gateway Board of Trustees. It's been great to catch up with you, to learn more about your exciting story, and in particular, your Gateway story. And we look forward to future conversations, and we certainly look forward to seeing all that you're going to accomplish as a member of the Board of Trustees. We congratulate you, and we thank you for being part of the morning show today.
Thank you so much. It's really a pleasure to be able to serve the college that gave me and my family the education and really the community.
Very good. And President Brian Albrecht, it's always great to have you here on the morning show.
Thank you very much, Greg.
I'm Gregory Berg. And it's 8:52. To finish out today's program, nutritionist Lisa R. Young talking about some of her insights shared in a book called The Portion Teller, Smart Size Your Way to Permanent Weight Loss. Some good thoughts as we approach Thanksgiving.
You know, it is amazing how portion sizes have grown so much in the past 30 years and how people have gained weight in parallel. The average adult has gained 8 pounds beginning the 1980s, and that is just at the same time that portions began to explode. So I realize that in treating people and in counseling people, it's not so much what they eat that they need to worry about, but it's how much they eat. And in The Portion Teller, I've devised a plan, a user-friendly visual guide to help people, A, estimate portions, and B, determine their portion personality and their eating style so that they can lose weight permanently and keep it off.
We should mention the photograph of you, which is on the back flap of your book's cover, because right there we see a perfect example of what you're talking about in terms of the explosion and the size of portions.
Oh, absolutely. normally you see a soda cup that is 64 ounces, a half gallon of soda, marketed for just one person that contains nearly 800 calories and 50 teaspoons of sugar.
Mm.
That's unbelievable.
Well, and then next to it, next to that double gulp from 7-Eleven are soda cups which are in descending size towards something that's a little more normal, including a you know, kind of a normal styrofoam cup at the far left. And we just kind of see right there a very graphic indication of how portion size has really exploded over recent years.
Oh, absolutely. And that styrofoam cup used to be a standard size. Now you can't find that anywhere.
The small styrofoam cups we grew up with, you mean?
Right, right. Now you don't get that. If you were to buy that in a, you know, in a restaurant or any place, you would feel gypped. You'd feel like, oh, I need to call the portion police.
Yeah, right. you know, it's interesting. The convenience store right down the road from the studio here, the radio studio, during the summer, they have a special of any size soda, 69 cents. Mm. And I'm sure many people opt for I think their largest happens to be 44 ounces, which is a lot of soda.
That's a lot of soda.
And because they have this one price for any of them, of course, many people will gravitate towards the largest for the sake of the bargain, even though they are doing themselves some harm.
That's what it is. We really, in America, want a deal. We want a bargain. But what we don't realize is at the end of the day, we're not getting a health bargain. We're gaining weight, and there's lots of consequences that go along with that, not just that the pants are too tight. You've got diabetes, and you've got heart disease.
Hmm. Tell our listeners about the Portion Museum, which you assembled as you began studying this in a serious way.
Oh, okay. The Portion Museum is, as I was getting my PhD in nutrition at NYU, and I was specifically focusing on how portion sizes have grown enormously. And before I started my research, it just hit me to kind of go around the streets and look to see all of the things that have gotten bigger. So I was taking pictures. I was collecting things. For example, you go to Starbucks. You want the small coffee. What do you get tall? The smallest is tall. I found bagels the size of seat cushions. I found muffins that were so enormous. Everything around us has gotten big. You know, a Big Mac, which used to be big back in 1968, is only 3 ounces. You can get a half a pound burger. Hmm. You could actually get two-thirds of a pound if you go to Hardee's. So everything I've tracked has gotten bigger, and it wasn't just one food. I mean, it was even beer cans, a 24-ounce beer can, beer bottles, and I was collecting these things, movie theater containers. It was like a horse feed, not a portion for one person. And that's what really led me to say, wait a minute, we need to educate the public not on what they eat, but on how much they eat. And the key to permanent weight loss is learning to scale back on how much we eat. And in the Portion Teller, I developed a visual program to help people with that information. I don't ask them to weigh their foods or measure their foods because that's not going to work. But think a deck of cards, 3 ounces. Think a shot glass of salad dressing. You know, that's 2 tablespoons. It's much more user-friendly, and it will work in the long term.
Hmm. You know, that brings up to something that you call a portion distortion. Oh. That's at that point in the book when you're kind of showing us, and there's big, long, fascinating lists of what you call portion shockers, of exactly what you were talking about. And one of the consequences, you tell us, is that we lose all sense of what small, medium, and large even means. I mean, those adjectives are meaningless when it comes to something as important as portion control. And in a sense, then, your book imposes a different way to think beyond those now meaningless terms, like what's a small, what's a medium, what's a large.
Yeah, those terms are totally meaningless. And you go into a place and you say, ooh, I'll have the small or the kitty, and you think you're being virtuous. But the kitty size today is what the large used to be back in the 50s.
Hmm.
You know, it's unbelievable how much portions have grown and how our perception has then changed once we're in the home as well.
Hmm.
And that's the scary part. We're buying bigger plates. 25%. Plates have grown in size by 25%. We're buying bigger mugs, bigger glasses, and of course, we pile more food on. And research clearly shows that we eat more when we're presented with a bigger portion.
Right. You mentioned at one point in the book two terms which we are probably a bit too sloppy with, a serving versus a portion.
Exactly.
What is the most important distinction for us to know there?
The most important distinction is everybody thinks that an appropriate amount of food is a portion, what you're served in the restaurant. But what you're served in the restaurant has nothing to do with how much you should eat, and how much you should eat is a serving.
Dr. Lisa Young's book is called The Portion Teller, Smart Size Your Way to Permanent Weight Loss. And she has written a second book since this interview was recorded, a book called The Portion Teller Plan, The No Diet Reality Guide to Eating, Cheating, and Losing Weight Permanently, published by Crown. Tomorrow on The Morning Show, we will be previewing the upcoming holiday concert of the Racine Symphony and also the upcoming performance of Bach's Magnificat at the University of Wisconsin Parkside. On Wednesday, my conversation with Marta McDowell, the first gardener in residence at the Emily Dickinson Museum in Amherst, Massachusetts, and the author of a fascinating book about Emily Dickinson called Emily Dickinson's Gardening Life, The Plant.